These coming weeks are very exciting for me when I look forward to Ascension and Pentecost, and now the beginning of Jesus making us whom we are and what he can do for us. Reading from John. When it was evening that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciple, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
For my brother in Christ, for those words of truth that can be trusted, would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for the truth that they are more than words. They are life. They are hope. They are love. Keep us open to how you are speaking specifically to us as we open our hearts to you. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. There's a story about a sister in Christ. Actually, she wasn't truly a sister in Christ, but she went to church. Do you know that that's possible? To go to church and not really be a brother or sister in Christ? You're glad that you're sitting down, right? And this is a story about something that I know is, well, I'm glad you're sitting for this also. It involves something you've probably never heard of before or been part of, gossip. I mean, have you heard about what gossip is? Have you ever heard about gossip? You know what I'm talking about? No. Some of you, okay. We can have a class on gossip. We can gossip right after worship today. Gertrude, you see, felt it necessary to comment on all sorts of things. Felt it necessary to share gossip. Felt it was her call, if you will, to be a channel of such words to any and all that would hear, and even people who ignored her, just to tell them anyways. She made a mistake, though, whenever she started gossiping about George in the church. You see, she happened to see his pickup truck outside of a bar in the town for hours. And she approached him after she had gossiped to other people and said, "Well, you know what's going on inside with his truck parked outside of that bar for hour after hour. You know what's going on inside there." George didn't say anything in hearing this. But that night, he went over later in the evening and parked his truck out in front of Gertrude's house. And left it there all evening. Sometimes what we see with our eyes doesn't communicate the whole story, does it? And so we should watch what we say and how we respond. We may have formulated an idea in our minds and think it's right on. And yet, we could end up being so wrong. And in our wrongness, actually hurt and damage others. You know, there's something that's coming up here this next weekend. And I have to admit, I will check the internet. I'll maybe flip over to that channel where they televise it. Just to kind of keep an eye on things and especially to see who my team picks. Guys, the NFL draft is on its way. There's hope for tomorrow. Football season has begun. And yet, this is a great illustration of what we see maybe not being the full package or deceiving us. Because you see, the draft is all about appearances. 40-yard dash times, how many times you can bench a certain weight. All of these tests and drills that the prospective recruits go through, all based on appearances. They have tried to improve the process, I understand, by testing them and maybe even giving them some psychological tests, watching some of the behaviors of some pro athletes. I think maybe, you know, they should have done that sooner than later. But still, it's mostly based on appearances. What can be seen by the eye? For us, our faith, in essence, is not solely based on what is seen. It is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of relationship with God. Thomas gets a bad name, I think. I love this particular scripture passage. Because Thomas is actually my favorite disciple. At one point in my journey as a servant of Christ, it dawned on me that Thomas is actually one that's very similar to me. Also, Thomas is one whose response is something, in the end, something that we should celebrate. But what have we heard growing up? Or what's the nickname that Thomas got? Doubting Thomas. We all know it. Have you ever had a nickname that you didn't really like? Somebody gave you a nickname? There's a couple guys that love calling me Curly for some reason. I don't know why. Not really sure why. But nonetheless. Thomas, you see, was someone who was searching and striving and wanting to believe. Truly wanting to believe. Even in the phrase that he offered here. In verse 24, starts with verse 24, after they told Thomas that Jesus had appeared, after they told Thomas that Jesus was with them and offered peace, after they told Thomas and witnessed to him about what was taking place, Thomas still responded in this way. Thomas responded to these words, in fact, in verse 25. We have seen the Lord. We talked about that last week also at Easter. We have seen the Lord. We have experienced the risen one. We have experienced God's grace in the most dramatic, earth-shaking way possible. We have seen the Lord. And yet, this response is going to meet that heartfelt exclamation, that heartfelt shout of faith. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in his side, I will not believe. Let me share something here. Because we are having struggle believing, because our faith is being challenged, because we are wondering where God is in the midst of whatever it is that we're journeying through, doesn't mean that we're not followers of Christ. This scripture passage, if anything, emphasizes that. But it also emphasizes this truth. Doubt is not the final answer. Struggle is not where we are going to be left by God. In fact, struggle is the place, is the kiln, if you will, where God really molds us, really hardens us to be disciples, strengthens us for the work ahead. Has anybody here gone through times of struggle in their life? Wow, there's only about five of you. My, that's amazing. Has anyone here maybe had doubts concerning their faith? You see, it's okay to be able to lay that before God. And actually, I believe, my interpretation, that Thomas was doing that, was making an offering of his doubt and his struggles at this point. Thomas certainly wanted to see, but in the response to the risen Christ, his faith was a powerful shout that we can hold in our hearts today and we can see as an example. What happens? Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Isn't that amazing through this scripture passage how often peace is pointed to? Peace be with you. Trust in what I said. Know that I am resurrected. Know that you can count on God in your life. In all of those things, and all of those truths, Jesus culminates it in one phrase, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." I don't believe that Jesus was saying this in a way of chastisement. I don't believe that Jesus was saying this in a way of correction, but rather saying it in the most loving way possible, in the most engaging way possible, saying, "Thomas, I want you to believe. Thomas, I want you to be renewed in your faith. Thomas, I am seeking to use you. God is going to work through you to build his kingdom. So I am here to encourage you. God is approaching you once again through me." And as Thomas was approached once again by God through Christ, as that Holy Spirit power was filling that room, almost bursting out the walls, we can imagine, as God's love was washing over Thomas, what is Thomas's response? And it has an exclamation mark, so watch yourself here. "My Lord and my God!" It's true. It's true. Praise God. You are risen. Praise God. He keeps his promises. Praise God. There is hope for tomorrow. My Lord and my God. There's nothing more that's really offered except that Jesus says or teaches here about those who have not seen him specifically but still believe. Those who have not seen with their eyes but felt in their hearts. Those are blessed. I'd mentioned to the kids earlier that for us, we are Easter people. We're technically still in the season of Easter as the church. But from Easter Sunday on, and more so, from that moment when we accepted a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, at that point, we are Easter people. We are called to share the Easter faith, the faith of resurrection, the faith of trust and belief, the faith of encouragement with all the world. If you're seeking to see Jesus today, if you are truly vulnerable before God, truly seeking to experience God's touch through Christ today, God will answer. But we can't say, well, like a little petulant child, I'm not going to believe, and you got to show me, God, and I'm going to go and eat worms until you do. If we truly are open to God, then God is going to bless us, will answer, and then we will see. We will experience what Thomas did. But that's a challenge that I have for you this morning. Thomas's exclamation, "My Lord and my God," heartfelt as it was then a clarion call to the church. All of those there were inspired by it. Think about that. Somebody coming from doubt into belief. Think about the times that you have seen someone coming from doubt into belief. Coming from believing simply by seeing, kind of an infant faith, into a more mature faith that is believing even through the desert times of life. Think about the excitement that you had in seeing that, maybe encouraging or being part of somebody coming into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Think about that. Have you experienced that? If you have, you know what the other disciples were experiencing there. Wow, a belief, a light shines, an awareness, an excitement, a joy, not simply a happiness. Remember the difference. Happiness is based on things of the world. Joy is based on things of God. So there was a joy that filled Thomas there, and the other disciples were able to see it and bask in that glow of God's love, but there was a power and there was a deepening that took place right there and right then that encouraged the church from then on. Have been blessed. As God has answered your doubt, you can also now be a witness to others. Even coming out of, and especially coming out of, the struggle. Christians, you see, are not perfect, just forgiven. And if we live in that way, if we live realizing that we don't have to have all the answers all the time, but we need to trust in God. If we live in that way, what a phenomenal witness and power that is unleashed and that is encouraged. God is already at work. Whether we are engaged or whether we are open to it or not, God is going to be at work, my friends. He's not simply waiting for your okay. God is going to continue. Isn't it a joy to know that we can be part of that? Are you excited to know that God is wanting you to be part of His kingdom building? Are you? Are you excited to know that God simply wants you to be open to how He is going to use your life? Are you excited about that? Then our response today, our response right now is, my Lord and my God, it's true. This is the greatest truth. And this time, my discipleship, as you hear some music play here in the background, I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about areas of doubt or areas where you've wanted to see God. And I want you to lay those things before God right now. Go ahead and close your eyes and just say, Lord, here I am. And lay before Him the things that you need to. Maybe there are some things that are coming to mind right now that are keeping you from experiencing His grace in the most powerful way. Maybe you're wanting to see, and God has already been showing Himself, and that's a prayer that you can offer. Know that as you do this, God receives you in such an incredible embrace of love right now. Seeking to answer you, seeking to be in your life, seeking to fill you in whatever way you need most. Receive that grace and love right now.